Just like June the Blab, robotic kicking flab. A flavor bit of batter, chitter chatter, madder than the Mad Hatter. I bet you buy shit, come my fatter. I got the data to turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean. My man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac take off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the funk kicking out more harder than a diamond. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mack with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your head. Here comes a brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mack's brand new flavor in your ear. Craig Mack, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees and you'll be burning, begging, please. Brother Freeze, man's indisputed and deep-rooted. Folks smoke that leaves your brains booted. This bad MC with stamina like Bruce Jenner, the winner tasting MCs for dinner. You're crazy like that glue. That think that you could outdo my 1-2. That's sick like the flu. Shake 'em down, boy. I flip boy all the time. Cause boy, the rhyme you kickin' ain't worth a dime. Seems like there's no competition in this rap world expedition. You come around and knock you out position.
Knock 'em out.
No flame could ever dig a grave. Both the Mac, the power pack and black make you see man crap. And here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Mac's a brand new flavor in your air. Here comes a brand new flavor.
Good morning, y'all. You're here with Off the Beaten Path, here on 101.9 Vancouver's community radio station. You're listening to Issa Arian. I am your host, and for the next hour, I will be taking you down my path. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487, 604-822-CITR. Now, we got a full show for you. Fun fact. What you listen to is Craig Mack, Flavor in the Air. One, I thought that that song is a timeless, ageless song. But for the first time, I heard a lyric where he said it has stamina like Bruce Jenner. And I don't know if you can be saying that in 2017 because, you know, while in 1994, you know, Craig Mack didn't know that Bruce Jenner was now going to be Caitlyn Jenner. And does Caitlyn Jenner have the same type of athleticism that Bruce Jenner had? Because Bruce Jenner was a, he's in decathlon. He was an Olympian. He was on a Wheaties box. I wonder, like, if you check ball with Caitlyn Jenner, does she dunk on you in 2017? Because I feel like Bruce Jenner could probably have dunked. We got a full show for you. Oh, another thing about Craig Mack Flavor Year. That was the first time I ever saw my brother get his ass beat by my mom when he had his first, the parental advisory CD, and my mom didn't know about it. So he proceeded to get an ass whooping for getting the CD with the cuss words on it. And it served a lifelong lessons for me to learn how to hide better from my mother because she sniffs everything out. We have a full show for you today, going over the BC election and some of the results. While we don't know all the results we do know, I think are pretty interesting. Talking about my goddamn DC sports teams. I don't even want to talk about it because it brings me so much anger. We got Sean Spicer hiding in bushes. It's just a lot of things going on here in this past week, including me getting a job. Now, don't all clap at once. This week has been a very, very long first week. But I'm getting through it, and I'm here for the people here at 7, 8 a.m. every Thursday morning, and I will continue to do that. If you are listening from CITR.ca or you're listening on 101.9 FM, I thank you. Please go like Off the Beaten Path on Facebook and follow me on Twitter so you get updates. From there, you can post articles if you'd like me to talk about them on the radio. I post articles on there throughout the week so that you just have a good understanding. You can see the story arc of the week and, like, see what's exactly going on. We have some new music coming up for you this week. This is just a full week. I think this whole hour will be fun. When we come back, we'll be getting into the BC election and some other interesting things. Now, they have changed all of this technology stuff, so I got to figure it out, but we're getting it together.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway.
Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and I don't know if you WWF fans like me. See, I refuse to say WWE, but I feel like the music is very, very appropriate because I saw the Washington Capitals get... See, I wanted to start off the show in a good mood, but I just wanted to get this over with. Just talking about the Capitals. And I didn't watch Game 7 because I knew that this was going to happen eventually. Well, I lied. I did watch it. I listened to it. And you just... Every year... Like, I would have much rather had the Capitals losing Game 5. But then they win in Game 5, and then they smoke the Penguins in Game 6, and you're like, okay, I feel us building the momentum. And you're like, I can feel it. I can feel it. We're going back to Game 7, home, D.C., in front of the home crowd. We're about to shake off the Penguins, who continually put the hurt on the Capitals every single year in the playoffs. I think historically the Capitals are 1-9 versus the Penguins. And then we get shut out in our home ice in Game 7. How shameful is that? And not only is it shameful, but you have the Wizards and the Nationals all playing in the same day. Nationals playing the Orioles, the Wizards playing the Boston Celtics in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference semifinals. My question is, all right, so you know how they give out, so I don't know if you follow hockey, listeners, or you don't, but in hockey they give out stars, right? So 3 stars, like the third best player in the game, 2 stars, the second best player in the game, 1 star, best player in the game. How does the third star, the goalie for the Capitals, you gave up 2 goals. Now, I don't know if that says more about how well you were playing and how well the observers saw you and like, oh, shit, Holtby, you're playing pretty good. And everyone around you is just trash. Everybody around you is playing shitty. Because you got Fleury, who the Penguins wanted to get rid of. He got 1 star, obviously, because he pitched a shutout. It's just so shameful. It's almost reminiscent of 2011, the Stanley Cup Finals, when Vancouver lost 4-0 to the Bruins. But, like, I mean, I guess it's not as bad because secretly, deep down, every single Capitals fan knew we were going to lose since we went down 1-0 in the first game. We were like, okay, this series is probably over. We probably shouldn't get our hopes up. Probably shouldn't get invested in this team. Okay, the Capitals go down 2-0. We're like, yeah, the series is over. Let's not really get into this. Then they go up 2-1. Then they're like, oh, shit. We might be able to do this. This might be the year. And then this. So we're moving on because, like, this might cause me to put down hockey forever. Like, hockey was lucky enough that I picked it up in the first place. I don't know if that's because growing up, the Capitals were decent or because I went to a private school. I don't know, because sometimes when you are the token black kid in a private school, you do things to fit in, and I think appropriating hockey might have been one of those things. However, as an adult, I enjoy it. I enjoy the fluidness of being out on the ice and watching the games, but no longer will I succumb myself to fandom and root for the Capitals, because it's clear that Ovechkin will never get over the hill. Moving on to these shameful, shameful Washington Wizards. Oh, my God, who let Avery Bradley score 29 points to go down 3-2 in Game 5. Like, okay, we're going back to D.C. Game 6. Maybe they should have left Kelly Oubre's – maybe they should have left Kelly Oubre out. Let's see what the box score. Let's see what Kelly Oubre was doing. Kelly Oubre, 20 minutes, 13 points, 3 rebounds. I mean, not terrible. However, he was a -7. I don't actually know what that means in the plus minus. But when you look at the team and you look at Bradley Beal was -20 and Markieff Morris, -17, Otto Porter, -11, Gortat, -12. Damn. Every single starter for the Washington Wizards was in the minus, almost double digits. Oh, man, I didn't even look at this. This is awful. This is terrible. So I think Washington, we should pretty much probably get with sports. I think sports is sometimes a waste of time. As I moved to Vancouver and really understood, you know, the culture just around how it feels to lose, and then how it feels to just not even be really that involved in sports, I have understood that maybe sports just carry a little too much weight in the States, and maybe we need to take Canada's lead and only care about one. We should pick one sport to care about and say F all of the rest. Because as much as people pretend to care about the Toronto Raptors, I don't really think that people do. But maybe that's just because I live on the West Coast, but that's just the way it feels. When we get back, we'll be talking about the BC election and what a minority government actually means.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister.
Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
What's up, UBC? Looking to try something new and exciting this year? Then check out UBC Sailing Club. Our club offers lessons and year-round exclusive access to our fleet of monohull and high-performance sailboats, kayaks, windsurfers, and paddleboards. Whatever floats your boat, sail! Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit our website at www.ubcsailing.org for more info.
When I first met you, baby, you were floating up above.
But it's funny though, why? Cause that's where I found my wife. Man, I hate the bus.
Good day.
I'd rather just ride my bike. Heard that ass on my handlebars and what? Everything's alright.
Nah, I done rode on the back of the bus like all my life.
All my life.
But it's funny though,
why?
Cause that's where I found my wife.
Found my wife.
Man, I hate the bus.
Good day.
I'd rather just ride my bike.
Ride my bike.
Heard that ass on my handlebars and what?
Everything's alright.
Nah, for the left.
You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike. You can take a ride on my bike.
Skate high Vans in a thick scrunch socks. Ice cream man, let me get a double scoop too. Then I slide off from my low rider drop. Jordan said he got a new scraper.
New scraper.
Black on black, Lord Vader.
Lord Vader.
Cause I came with Chewbacca in a trunk. Open that up and let the beast just knock.
Then I proceeded on the block. Wondering when the heat is gonna drop. And I ain't even talking about the sun. I'm talking about the cops with the guns. Looking like they never have fun. Never have I ever will I follow someone.
Lead my parade to the beat of my drum. The deeper I go, you the deeper I come. Went so deep that I touch your soul. Back in the day, it was ink and a scroll. That was LCDs, double click and a scroll. Back in the day, you would pick your nose. Now it's pick presidents who run these polls. I swear on an oath that I won't stop. Now sit yourself right on top. Booty round, looking like two gunshots. Good call.
You can take a ride on my bike. Go ride a bike. Take a ride on my bike.
Just ride my bike. Put that ass on my handlebars and everything's alright.
You back to the Gene Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Here on 101.9 CITR, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. You know, here we like to play just a little bit of Canadian music, but we're getting into the BC election, and on Tuesday, votes were tallied, and to win a provincial majority, it is required that the party win 44 of the 87 available districts. And what happened, and this one is the first thing that's happened in 52 years, is there is no majority government. The BC Liberals won 43 seats. The NDP won 2, and the remaining seats went to, the Green Party won 2, and the remaining seats went to the NDP, which really means in a minority government, the provincial is led by a minority government. So the idea is that it's not a minority like you think. There's no minority. There's no minorities. It just means they don't have enough parties, enough people to be the majority. Which is, when I first saw it, I was reading that story. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh shit, minority government. Like, who's in charge? Like, I didn't even know there was a minority running. But as I woke up, I really began to understand that it had absolutely nothing to do with minorities. But so currently, Christy Clark is still the premier, which means that, like in the technicality, the BC Liberals are still in charge. However, what this really means is that, like, both parties, the NDP and the Liberals, really have to negotiate with the Green Party, because the Green Party is really going to be very important when it comes to deciding on specific issues. Like, when it comes to particularly big money in politics and, you know, things that angered some BC residents earlier in the year, or some of the things that Christy Clark did, such as tariffs on logging, tariffs on coal, things like the Kinder Morgan pipeline. While BC previously had a majority Liberal Party government, what this means is that Christy Clark and the Liberals are going to have to negotiate with Andrew Weaver, who's the leader of the Green Party. This is all under review of the Courtney Comox vote, because the NDP only won by 9 votes, so there will be a recount there. So if that is overturned and the BC Liberal Party happens to win in that riding, then none of this, what I said for the past like 3 minutes, will be relevant at all, because it will be a majority BC Liberal government, just like it has been for the last 5 years. It's just interesting to see, because, like, you know, down in where I'm from in the States, we have really it's just a 2-party system. We have a Green Party, but they don't actually do anything or have any type of clout or have any riding. So it's not really that much say that they have. But here, it's interesting that they essentially be the tiebreaker when it comes to issues. And since the Liberal and the NDPs are so close, it could be the Green Party, Andrew Weaver, who wields a lot of power when it comes to exactly what types of policies go through the system. Or I'm sure that it could probably create a lot of stalemates and a lot of nothing as things fail to get pushed through in any type of regularity or any type of, you know, as things just move slower and slower. It'll be interesting, particularly when they count up these votes, and 9 votes is just such an incredibly small margin. I'm really looking forward to that. They said the last time that they had to recount votes, it took 2 months, and there's over 40,000 absentee ballots. So it could be a while before we actually know who won the election. But until then, we have a minority government, and not quite how you would imagine. I was reading an article. Well, somebody shared an article with me. And it was about Vancouver's drug crisis. And so many people do not know that Vancouver has an opioid problem. Particularly, opioid crisis is not, it's not Vancouver's opioid price crisis. What we seem to be having is opioids seem to have had issues or caused crises in all over the world for past, 400 years since opium was discovered. But in Vancouver, it's really highlighted because it is very visible, particularly in the downtown east side, where it's really unavoidable. If you go down there for any reason, if you go eat in Gastown, or if you just want to ride your bike around the city, or if you're going to look for your bike that you used to ride around the city that was stolen, downtown east side might be a place where you might find it. So I was reading an article out of the South China Morning Post where it talks about gentrification may be the only answer to Vancouver's drug crisis. Now, that is a very interesting response. So this is not a paper that is I mean, it's called the South China Morning Post, so it's clearly not a Vancouver-based newspaper. And to think of a drug problem being solved by moving the people out of the area, but not actually helping them get off drugs or helping with the overdose crisis. It just, I think it speaks to like just how some people see drug addiction and drugs as issues, but like not in issues as you might see them. They don't see drug addicts as people who can be redeemed. They see drug addicts as people who need to be removed. And that's something to keep in mind when you when we talk about solutions to these types of issues, is that not everybody sees the solution the same. Not everybody sees the solution as really trying to help drug addicts and people who are susceptible to being drug addicts and people who might fall into drug addiction in the future. They don't see those people as redeemable. So when they talk about solutions to crises, we're not actually talking about reduction. I mean, yeah, reduction. They're talking about removal from sight, like just get those people from around me. And it'll be interesting to see moving forward, like just how, I mean, because we obviously know that some people believe that gentrification is the ailment for, I mean, is the thing that really provides the change for the community that people need. Like, I'm from D.C., and so D.C. Used to be really bad. It also, people believe that that now D.C. is better because of how much it's been gentrified. Like, look at everything we're bringing to the city, but D.C. is getting boring. And so, I mean, take it for what you want. I like the old D.C., and I'm sure there will be people in Vancouver once they move all of these problem people out of the downtown east side that in a few years they'll be asking for the old Vancouver because it just won't be as interesting anymore. I mean, Vancouver's, like, as much as I love this place, it's not the most interesting place. And removal of that. Removal of the people who talk to themselves on the street and getting them out of sight, I don't think is the best. Getting them help would be better. But sometimes you should have a conversation and find out that sometimes they've been living there for, you know, a very, very long time. So moving them out might not be the answer. I know I just rambled on a little bit. Looking for the next story. Now, this is a story I thought was pretty cool. So there is a, no, we're not going to take a very long time. I saw this story. It was it's called Bullets for Binos. So Bullets for Binoculars is this two resorts in the central coast of BC. Let me see what the names are. Nimmo Bay Wilderness Resort. So what they have been, so normally this wilderness resort used to bring in attractions for a lot of hunters. So you can buy a permit to hunt grizzly bears. And so they used to bring in a lot of hunters. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to trade those licenses for stays in their resort. Because what they're noticing is that these grizzly bears are dying. Like, I saw a picture of a grizzly bear taken at this resort. And this grizzly bear looks so damn scary because it's skinny as hell. Like, I thought a grizzly bear big and, like, fat would be scary just because the idea that grizzly bears are fast and they're strong and they can rip you apart. And I saw the Revenant. It's not really any getting away from that. However, I'm looking at this skinny grizzly bear, which I'll post in on Off the Beaten Path on my Facebook page. And you're going to be like, holy smokes, that grizzly bear looks 10 times scarier. Because that grizzly bear looks like he will do anything for food. And nothing is scarier to me than somebody with nothing to lose. And that's what this grizzly bear looks like. Like, he might run up on you and eat your Subway sandwich while you're sitting in your car at lunchtime because you don't want to talk to your coworkers. However, so if you're looking for a place to go see grizzly bears and take pictures of them and not hunt them, you should check it out. Maybe you can actually buy the license for $80 and then get a $10,000 package from the resort. So even if you just buy the license and try to switch it, it might be a good trade for you. So that's Nimmo Bay. something I saw was very, very interesting this past weekend. So I was walking to improv practice, and we saw a sign that says psychiatry and industry of death. So this was paid for by the Church of Scientology. And just it was like movies and pictures about how psychology causes people to commit suicide, and how the pharmaceutical industry just makes a lot of money off people who may have mental health issues, and how no doctor actually knows the correct chemical balance in anyone's brain, which sounds legit. I mean, I don't know. I know the Church of Scientology from watching Getting Clear on HBO. However, I thought this might be a little extreme. But maybe I might check out Church of Scientology. Maybe they got some good points going on. You know, maybe it's worth looking into. Because there's some truths that we just believe so wholeheartedly that I'm open to trying out an alternative viewpoint. I was having this conversation with a coworker yesterday, because he enjoys particular conspiracy theories like me, like about the genie movie with Sinbad. Now, I personally swear I saw a movie with Sinbad as a genie, but I know it doesn't exist. So, like, I know that it doesn't exist. However, I know that I've seen it. It causes a lot of confusion in my brain. However, I think that it's healthy to leave a life with a healthy level of skepticism to absolute truths, because what is true all the time, you know? Nobody really knows. Like Bow Wow, right? I thought it was an absolute truth that Bow Wow was rich. However, he gets caught stunting all the time. For instance, he posted a Snapchat. I mean, he posted an Instagram post talking about flying to New York for a premiere of, I don't know. I don't follow. I mean, if you follow Shad Moss on Instagram, I guess it doesn't do you any harm, but, like, I don't really get any enjoyment from flying. However, he posted a picture, which was then reverse looked up on Google and found out that it came from Fort Lauderdale Airport Transportation Corporate Travel Shuttle. Like, he was getting on a private plane. And then, minutes later, somebody Snapchatted him on a commercial jet. Now, there's celebrities who ride commercial all the time. I feel like that's not uncommon. Whether they're in first class or business class, or coach or whatever. Like, celebrities ride business class all the time. I mean, commercial jets. So, like, Bow Wow doesn't have to pretend that he's on a private jet. But, like, where in life do you get caught up with all of this stunting so much that you forget? They're like, oh snap. People might actually take a picture when they see me. Like, people might actually recognize me, Bow Wow, when I step on this plane. And it just brings me back to, like, fifth grade. I was, like, so envious of Bow Wow. Like, oh, man, this guy, he's just a little bit older than me. He's a rapper. Like, yeah, he's short. And I wouldn't want to be that short, but, like, he's rich and he's a rapper. Like, you know, he was on MTV Cribs, buying a house for his mom. Everything I wanted to do. But, like, now I see Bow Wow and he's just continually be talked bad about on the internet, and I just continually feel bad. Like, man, I don't know if I'd trade my 27, like, I mean, Bow Wow has done some good things, but, like, I don't know if I'd trade my 27 year old life for Bow Wow right now. Yeah, he's rich, but, like, I'd much rather not be corny than rich, and I feel like there's almost nothing he can do to dig out of this corny hole that he has been in for a while. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about Jeff Sessions and James Comey and some of the other shenanigans that are going on in U.S. politics. It's been a crazy, crazy week. So we'll get into that a little bit later.
She do it all for them dollars. Grind hard, she in college. Your man doesn't acknowledge. Other niggas pay you in homage. Just moved out of mama's. Packed all in that Honda. Ride around my side of town. Traumatized so you holler. You don't need them other niggas. You can't make it on your own. Then she told me that she need me. But I told that bitch she don't. Cause no matter who you're with, girl, you gon' always feel alone. Gotta get it. Could you fuck with me with no strings attached? Cause I can't trust no one. I become so numb and I don't give no fuck. I'm up for anything, whatever you down for. Heard you got a man, but he's never around. Oh, I can't hold you down,
AK-47. I sent some people to hell, some people to heaven. The first person that ever used me was 7. With me, it's hard to survive. With me, I might kill your spirit, but keep you alive until you die or say bye to me. Children forced to go to war cause of rivalry. Power placed in your hand cause the bullets that's inside of me. I create dichotomy. I'm probably a war child's best friend and enemy. They want to go to school, but they were sent to me. Wars in Sudan and downfall. How could we settle the score when our soil is rich, but mentality's poor? Never seen a man cry until he died. Angel of death before your last hour. I gave you power. Officer, overseer, in the hands of a policeman. Killer black man, cause he can, cause he African. Taken from a stolen land, brought to a foreign sand. Raped from the Indians, do you understand how I feel? In the hands of a dictator who deceives and believes he's greater. Don't point me at my sisters, brothers, mommies, daddies, aunties, uncles. Why you turn my paradise into a jungle? We just wanna love, but they wanna rumble. How could we be humble when we're famished? I know they wish we'd vanish, it's madness. My magazine is drenched in sadness. I said it's madness, my magazine is drenched in sadness.
I was an AK-47.
You listen to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 Vancouver's community radio station. If you're listening to CITR.ca or you're listening to the podcast on Mixcloud or on CITR.ca, we thank you. The number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. What you just heard was Rima Major with her new song, AK-47. She is a Sudanese rapper out of Toronto. And, you know, we like to bring you some new music here, particularly some new Canadian music, because while living in Vancouver, I have grown a fondness for Canadian hip-hop and R&B because some heat actually comes out of here. And if you'd like to listen to new hip-hop every week, you can on Tuesdays from 9 to 11 on Crimes and Treasons Radio. That's 9 to 11 here on 101.9 CITR. Or you can tune in on CITR.ca through the player. Now, I know that I've said I was going to talk a little bit about some United States politics, particularly James Comey and his firing by Donald Trump. However, I feel like since that happened 2 days ago, you know, this being Thursday, that happened on Tuesday, what else is there to talk about? I mean, we know that it's pretty much a gong show going over there. It feels as if the Don is trying to lead us into this life of chaos. You know, like when you have, when you know someone, or you might have this person in your life who just likes to just have so much going on that like you can never tell that when something's serious and or when something's not, just because there's just so much drama involved in this person's life that it just causes you to just tune them out and ignore everything that's going on. But I feel like that's what our president is doing. And so we eventually, and some people might already be there, just fall into like this trap of this apathy where we're just like, you know what, F it. There's nothing we can do. Because it just, that's where it seems to be going. Like, I am not on Capitol Hill, nor do I know people who, like, I know people who are pretty connected, but not anybody who would, you know, just reveal. But I don't think that he's going to be impeached. Like, I just have this feeling that Donald Trump is going to last president until 2020. And even with all of these things going on, it just seems so, so ridiculous. However, there are some funny stories that do come out of that. And this one that I read about Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer being spending several minutes in the bushes and saying that he actually won't come out and talk to reporters until it is dark in the room reminds me of just something that would happen on Scandal, not even Scandal, or, you know, like Veep or one of those other shows that just like provides the national press secretary. So like the individual who should be willing to stand up and answer any questions for anything that the government has done, anything that the president or just anything that's going on right now with the country in regards to the government, should be able to stand up tall and strong and deliver statements that make you feel really, really good about the, like how the country is moving forward. This guy is scared to stand. Like, that's not even something my mother would have. Now, I know I go into all these stories about my mom. My mom is a wonderful, wonderful woman. However, she is the type of individual who will hold anybody accountable for anything. So you don't have to be her son. Or you don't even have, she doesn't have to know you. You could be a stranger on the street. She wouldn't let you hide in the bushes and refuse to answer questions until they turn off all the lights so that you could feel comfortable and answer questions. That's like literal of trying to imagine people, to imagine the audience like in their underwear so that you can be comfortable going on stage and delivering your lines. You know, that's what they tell you when you're a little kid. Like, just imagine, like, you know, everyone's in underwear and you, but, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. as national press secretary would do that. So, but they let him. They let him hide in the bushes and waited till the lights went dimmed so that he could answer his questions. Like, I didn't even watch his press conference, but like how much more of Sean Spicer are we going to be able to take for the next 4 years? Like, I think that Donald Trump might last 4 years, but the people around him seem to be crumbling. And how much more of that? Like, we saw Kellyanne Conway go on with Anderson Cooper. I don't know how many of you guys watch CNN, but just talking about how Donald Trump praised Comey in the way that he handled the emails for Hillary and then getting fired. No, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, and look, I've talked about it for 5 minutes. This is too long. Moving on. I've got to play some audio for you of the Bethune-Cookman commencement speech. Now, if you don't know, Bethune-Cookman is a HBCU, a historically black college and university located in Florida. And so they, the president, I guess, invited Betsy DeVos, who is the Secretary of Education, to speak at their commencement speech. Now, while I guess this might not be a big deal earlier this year, or if you listen to Off the Beaten Path regularly, you'll know that we talked about this, how she is a big proponent of school choice, particularly in charter schools. And she said HBCUs are the real pioneers when it comes to school choice back in February. Now, we all know that that to be ridiculous, because the only reason that the HBCUs were created is because they wouldn't let black people in regular schools. So it wasn't so much of a choice. And this is how the students responded.
Great honor and privilege. I am honored to become a Wildcat. And it's a real honor and privilege to be with you as we celebrate the Bethune-Cookman University.
Boo! Just astounding amount of boos. Now, I know that at my graduation, I was highly, highly inebriated. Now, if you don't know anything about Ohio University, what you should know is that they open the bars at 5 a.m. on graduation day just so that you can, if you have a 9 a.m. graduation, you can get there and you can feel pretty good about your college accomplishments and everything that you put in for the last 4, 5, 6, or 7 years, no matter how long it took you. And if you're really lucky, there's a 12 p.m. commencement as well for undergraduate students. And so you can get to the bar at 6 a.m. and stay there until about 11:30 until you walk to the Convocation Center. However, I don't know how Bethune-Cookman is. However, if that had been my graduation speech, I think we booed the national anthem. So just understand it. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if boos are common at convention speeches. However, this one was booed. And so the president of Bethune-Cookman actually got up and on the podium, and this is what he said.
This behavior continues, your degrees will be mailed to you.
Now, I wish you guys could see his face, because when he said that, it was so serious. As if people give a damn if you're going to mail the degrees or give it to them in their hand. I mean, obviously, people were upset that they invited Betsy DeVos there in the first place. Like, that was absolutely ridiculous. And I just thought it was funny. I think it's funny that he thought that telling people that your degree is going to be in the mail was going to get people to stop booing. And so they continued to boo Betsy DeVos. And I think that people continue to make these mistakes inviting. It's like, why not give the students what they want? Like, as a commencement speaker, I believe our commencement speaker, I don't actually even remember who our commencement speaker, I believe it might have been the woman who does the voice of Bart Simpson, because she is a Ohio University graduate. And so, I mean, that was cool, I guess. But unless my commencement speaker is like Elon Musk, or, you know, I think I saw that Jim Carrey, he gave that really, really good commencement speech, or Barack Obama, I'm probably not going to remember who it is. But I will remember it. If I was a Bethune-Cookman graduate in 2017, I would remember that it was Betsy DeVos and that our administration didn't give a damn about anything that we cared about. I'm going to play one song, and then we're going to come up with some crazy, crazy, crazy stories about how this white police officer is now suing $500,000. Suing for $500,000 for discrimination. It's the audacity of some people. It blows my mind. Now, I haven't screened this song for parental advisory, so if your kids are listening, you might want to change the channel because it's a possible uncensored.
Fill my tank up with that gas. I'm rolling off of this petrol. Off the seat of plug now. Got premium like it's SO. Young pretty SOB. Ever since elementary. Make sure all my dogs eat. Bitch, you know my pedigree.
Okay, that's enough. So, well, so we talked a little bit about Bow Wow earlier. And then so, with this, the four of us came out and we see the richest people in America when it comes to hip-hop artists. Now, I don't know why we have to single hip-hop artists out. However, if you follow, you know that it's usually Jay-Z and Sean Combs or Puff Daddy or Puffy or however you would like to call him. You normally one and two. However, in the past few years, it has been Dr. Dre who was number two. That's changed back to Jay-Z. Jay-Z has a net worth of $110 million, and Sean Combs has a net worth of $120 million. Now, just imagine that. Like, Jay-Z, $110 million, and he might not even make the most money in his house. That's crazy. Like, when I watch these Forbes lists and I realize just how much richer these people are to me, it doesn't hurt my feelings, but it doesn't make me feel good because I have a net worth of like negative $30,000. It's not a good feeling. There's really nothing else to say to that. I saw, there was another story about, because the Forbes list came out, so it was, you can find out like who's the richest person that's the same age as you. So I found out the richest person, who's 27, is the owner of Snapchat. Snapchat. Something that I saw in 2014, and when I saw that he turned down a buyout from Facebook for like $30 million or something, and I'm like, God, this guy's dumb. Snapchat, that'll be worth nothing in a few years. How can he commercialize Snapchat? Well, he's found a way to be worth $4 billion and make me feel real, real stupid. So, Evan Spiegel, you are killing it. And so he's the richest 27. If you want to see the rest of the list, you can go on Off the Beaten Path or facebook.com/Off the Beaten Path, and you can see the Forbes list, the complete one. Now, I'm just going to play a little bit of audio from this news story. Hold on. Sorry about that, guys. Because I feel like I could tell you the story, but the way that the news reporters talk about it, they take this story so serious that it makes someone like me give cause for pause, because this is
lawsuit. A Hastings police officer is suing the chief and city leaders there. The officer, who recently discovered he's 18% black, is suing over his co-workers' reactions to his newfound ethnicity. 24-Hour News 8's Joe LaFergie is here with this story.
And Brian, this lawsuit could cost the city of Hastings a bundle, but the attorney for the officer says it's not about the money.
It all began when an ancestry research site answered a lingering question Hastings Police Sergeant Cleon Brown had about his lineage.
And when he found out he was 18% African American, he was very proud of it.
But according to Brown's Detroit area attorney, not everyone at Hastings PD shared in his pride. It started in the office one day last fall. Boylan claims Chief Jeff Pratt spotted Brown.
He saw Cleon standing there and said, "Hey, Kunta," as in Kunta Kinte. And Cleon's response, incredulously, was, "I cannot believe you just called me that."
Details in the civil rights violation law.
All right, now that's enough. So you can see the ridiculousness in the story. So this officer who took in Ancestry.com, and Ancestry.com said he was 18% African American. It's cut BS because, like, listen, Ancestry.com doesn't say, "Yo, you are black." Like, black isn't a place to be from. So I don't really know how much of this story I believe from this guy. However, are there no black people on this police force in Hastings, Michigan? Because for the blackest person in your police force, like, Kunta is what you call someone who might be the blackest person in your police force, like visually. Like, if you've never seen Roots, that's what, you know, that's, when the jokes come out, you know, that's pretty much what happens. However, this officer was called Kunta, and he was also given a black stocking and a black Santa at Christmas. Now, this is very interesting because, like, it's almost as if these other police officers have never seen a black person before in their whole life, because, like, this is the first time that they get to joke about somebody being black. And these are not even insults. It just speaks to, like, the fragility of, like, this guy and, like, his feelings about himself. He feels he can sue for $500,000. Now, what I would like to be interested, I'm going to follow this story for a long time because I want to see if he wins. Because if so, I have lots of claims for discrimination. Not only at work, but on the street. Like, can I sue the city for, last weekend, an individual walked up to me while I was at work and shook his head at me and said, "There goes the neighborhood." Now, can I sue the city of Vancouver for that? For making me not welcome here? You know, I like money too. But however, we see these types of stories and it's laughable because we know that real black people, you know, people who are not only 18% black, but maybe, you know, 50% black or maybe 100% black, you know, deal with these types of things all of the time. And not once has anybody got on the news and talked about it with the level of seriousness that they're talking about it. And two, giving us any type of recourse to file suits. People would just tell you to quit your job. Literally, that's what people have said. Like, I had a complaint. Someone said, "Why don't you just quit your job?" I'm like, that doesn't seem like a very reasonable response. And while black teenagers are being killed by police officers still all over the country, we saw just this past week in Dallas, a young boy was shot in a car while the police officer was responding to a noise complaint for a party. Like, if that's how you show up to a party in a wealthier Dallas suburb, because you, with a rifle, because you believe black people are just inherently dangerous at this party, and then you have cops complaining about racial discrimination when their Ancestry.com results get leaked, it just speaks to, like, this huge level of disconnect when we're talking about race and some of the things that are going on. And that is the time for Off the Beaten Path. I really thank you for being with me for this last hour here on 101.9 CITR.ca. You can find the podcast on Mixcloud, or you can find the podcast on Facebook at Off the Beaten Path. If you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spoonie_love. Listen, I am out, but I hope that you all have a great day. I know we didn't get to the weather this morning. I knew I was forgetting something. It'll be showers until Monday. If you, like me, are a sailor and it's opening day at the yacht club and you'd like to get your white pants on and your blue blazer, you can do that on Saturday. It will be raining, however, it will still be a lot of fun and Pims will be drank. And that's about it. You guys have a nice weekend. Tune in for the next show. You guys have a good time.